Rhonda, for allowing me to come and share the word today. This is the day that the Lord has made. And be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, you to take over this service. Take control of me, Lord. Let your spirit come forth through my lips. Let the word of truth come through, that each heart will hear your word today, not just their minds, but their heart. I ask you, Lord, to use me in a mighty way, Lord. Let your words come out of my mouth, that every person hears your word. I don't want no credit today, Lord. The credit goes to you, because this is your word, not mine. So use me, Lord. Lord, take all of our doubts that we have and set us all free from the burden of doubt, of doubting your word, which is the truth, because the truth will set us free, free indeed. Lord, help us to grow in your word, because your word alone will set us free. Lord, help us to conquer our difficulties in our lives. Cause us to grow, to be strengthened, whether problems are physical or spiritual. We want to bring the glory of God and your faithfulness and your righteousness and your grace that is sufficient for our every need. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to speak about doubt, and we're going to break some bondages today. Doubt, let's see what the definition of doubt is. Doubt is uncertainty, unsureness, indecision, disbelief, lack of confidence, distrust. Certainty about the truth facts, or existence of something. Lack of belief in our conviction about something. Doubt can be like a pain in our side. It'll alert us to a problem that needs to be addressed in our lives. We are to test ourselves as to be sure that we are in the faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or chapter 13, verse 5. Be 5 and 6. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Jesus wants us to examine ourselves, implies that they could be disqualified, exposed as never having actually believed. The test of our relationship to Christ is the ethical quality of our behavior. But Paul trusts that they are indeed in the faith. On examination, they will see that Jesus Christ is in them, and he's in you if you have Jesus in your heart. Thus, they will know that Paul, who led them to Christ, is not a disqualified apostle. Amen. So examine yourselves. Don't be afraid. But I trust you will know that we are not disqualified. The test of our relationship to Jesus Christ is the ethical quality of our behavior. Be sure you are born again in the Spirit of God. Doubt is not an opposite of faith. Faith is certainty. In Isaiah 7:9b, be the second half of that verse. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Here he's, Jehoshaphat is getting ready to go out in the morning early. So he says, they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Praise the Lord, for the mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Doubt limits what our Lord Jesus Christ can do in our on behalf of our life. Amen. Lord was talking to Peter on the water in Matthew 14:31. And we, most of us know that story, where Peter thinks he can walk in the water. He says, call me, Jesus, call me to you. So he gets out of the boat and starts walking, and a storm is coming up. And all of a sudden, he starts to have fear and doubt. And Jesus, as he starts to sink, Jesus reaches him and pulls him out, and he looks down and says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Do not doubt. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's when you're going through tribulation in your life. I went through it. A lot of us go through a lot of tribulation. Doubt is like a thorn in our flesh. Are we going to let the devil steal our joy? No. Absolutely not. You can doubt things, what man says, during your lifetime, but when you doubt the word of God, this is sin. Pure and simple. In Lamentations 5, Oh, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, we will be restored. Renew our days of old, unless you are utterly rejected us. In a final burst of faith, this prayer lays hold of restoration and renewal in the Lord, but not without nagging doubt. Unless you have utterly rejected us, it says, to those not immediately in the distress. The answer was clear. The Lord must correct and punish them, but he would not make a complete end of them. I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Amen. Amen. Occasions of doubt. I'm going to go over a few. Doubt may be defined as the uncertainty of unbelief or lack of confidence in something. Applied to the Christian's life, doubt refers to unbelief in God and his word that Christians occasionally exhibit. It is possible that in a moment of infirmity in our weakness, Christians may doubt the existence of God, in spite of the fact that it is not reasonable for a person to disbelieve this obvious truth. Look in Psalm 14:1. says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. In 1 John 3:9, he says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that you receive in your heart. Amen. So saying there is no God is not so much a philosophy, a philosophical statement, as a practical one. I'll say it again. So saying there is no God is not so much a philosophical statement as a practical one. Many people who would not claim God does not exist still live as though he did not. Although it is impossible to elude God and his moral demands, the foolish person tries both. A Christian is more likely to doubt his salvation after sinning or after a spiritual defeat. A misunderstanding of such verses as 1 John 3:9, when he says, it says he cannot sin. It is inconceivable for a person born of God to live a life of sin. If he does, he is denying what God did when he saved him, being born again. Sin is incompatible with Christ's new nature, given to the Christian. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. It is a crucial note that this verse speaks of a lifestyle of sin. Somebody that's not born again. And not the instances of sin. In Ezekiel 36, It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. 27, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's when you invite Jesus into your heart and your life as Lord and Savior. Amen. A Christian may also doubt God's sovereignty of his goodness. In such circumstances as sickness, suffering, injustice, opposition, economic problems, family problems, national calamity, apparently unanswered prayer. A Christian may be tempted to doubt the goodness of God. One must remember that it is not always possible to discern God's good hand in the affairs of our life. The person of faith believes God even when circumstances appear to the contrary. I had to put all my trust in God for the things, circumstances that I went through in my life. A lot of you know my testimony. I had to ask for more faith. I had to believe more. And I had to do it without doubting. And he can do anything. I went through a heart attack, divorce, raising 4 children by myself for years. Cancer. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a heart patient. Different operations. But when I read Luke chapter 1:37, This changed me. I quit doubting God. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? Trust Him. Believe in Him. He's worthy of everything in our lives. Amen? All doubt may be traced ultimately to unbelief in the Word of God, which affirms beyond question the existence and character of God. To regard doubt as the sin of unbelief and then confess it to God as sin is therefore the first step toward conquering and curing doubt in your life. Amen? Amen. Turn to Habakkuk, chapter 1. I read the first four verses. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Sounds like today. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I shared a little bit about occasions of doubt. Now, I'm going to share with you a little bit about sources of doubt. One of the most potent sources of doubt is introduced in the early chapters of Genesis. It is Satan himself who causes Eve to doubt God by questioning his word. Yes. Satan says to Eve, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He deceived her, but she did tell him she has to eat out of the garden, but cannot eat from what is in the midst. But Satan, let's go to Genesis 3:1 quick. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you touch it, lest you die." When the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see how deceiving he was? Trying to tell Eve you can be a God? Wow. I could smack that boy upside the head. Amen. So he deceives her, lied to her. He lied about the circumstances, about death. God meant that the death that you die was a spiritual death, not a physical death. You see how he deceived her? Mm-hmm. Satan even tries to get the long-suffering Job to curse God. Most of us know that story. Satan always has to go before God in order to do come after you for anything in your life. He has to try to tell, he's trying to tell God, but if you let allow me to go after this man, Job, I'll have him curse you to your face. God says, go ahead, but don't lay a hand on him. He can't kill him. He can do whatever he wants, but he couldn't kill him. So Satan is said to be seeking to devour Christians. In 1 Peter 5, five to nine. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood, everybody in the world. But may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This statement is not to be taken literally, but it means that Satan wants to devour the Christian's commitment to God and your testimonies before others. One way he does this is by introducing doubt into the mind. He, Satan, cannot enter the Spirit of God that's in your heart, but he can enter your mind. The world system is another source of doubt, since it has its own set of values and objectives that are opposed to God. It also has its own worldly wisdom. The wisdom stands in direct opposition to the wisdom of God, taught by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. You go from 11 to 14. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Those things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 15 and 16, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Nobody. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. It is clearly revealed, for example, in the opposition of the evolutionary theory to the truth of the creation of man. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. Twenty and 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Christianity is based on the faith. The content of the gospel is revealed by God in Christ and recorded in the Bible. Those who teach contrary views have strayed away. In the Greek word, missed the mark. Whatever is contrary to sound doctrine leads to spiritual ruin. Amen. Probably the greatest source of doubt Christians face is simply their own spiritual immaturity. In James, not James Dry, James in the book of James. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. James knows where I'm going here. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, tribulations in your life, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He wants you to become more mature as a Christian. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He'll give it to you if you just ask. Ask him for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment of his word. He'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We don't want to be wishy-washy Christians. He is a double-minded man. I'm sorry, I got to go back up one. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Amen. Amen. Paul explains that when Christians doubt sound doctrine, it is because they are children in the faith and thus are easily deceived. It means you're drinking milk. You're not getting the meat. In Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Says that we should no longer be children tossed to and from and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful who's even saying it. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Amen. Conquering this kind of doubt demands a growing, obedient relationship with God. Amen. Go to 1 Kings 18. I read 19 to 21. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it Baal, follow him. Baal is a pagan god. But the people answered him not a word. talking about up on Mount Carmel as was believed to be the ancient worshipers to be sacrificed to Baal, or sacred to Baal. So that Elijah challenged Baal and Asherah on their own turf. Elijah was a man of faith. I just love that guy, I tell you. Things that I read about him made my faith get so strong that I don't doubt when I pray over somebody that God is going to touch them.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. On their own turf. Asherah was the mother goddess of the fertility cult for Baal. Now I'm going to share with you the cure for doubt. There's five things in here. One of them, the first one is confess the doubt to God as sin. Doubt is basically unbelief in God and His word and is therefore sin. Romans 14, 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Turn to Hebrews, verse 6. Hebrews, 11, verse 6. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, your body, every inch of your body. Make it be powerful to him. Let him know that you do care. Have faith without doubting. God has promised to hear our confession of even the darkest unbelief. Second, study the evidence for Christian faith. Study the evidence. Christians have nothing to fear by looking into the facts from any source of knowledge. The greatest evidence for validity of Christianity is the resurrection of Christ, is attested by many proofs. Among these are the empty tomb, the post-resurrection, appearances, and transformed disciples, which means us also being transformed. Since the resurrection is true, it verifies everything the Bible says is truth, because truth, the Bible, is God's word. Number three, make certain of your salvation. You want to make sure you're born again. Paul exhorts Christians to examine themselves, as we went over earlier, to make sure they are born again, spirit-filled Christians. Amen? Amen. Salvation from sin is repenting your sin to Jesus Christ as a sinner. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior, not just as Lord and not just as Savior. Do it with both. And then thank him for giving you eternal life, which is the Spirit of God. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, which is God in your heart. And you will be sealed. If you remember what I said in Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, he'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. Amen? Amen. Until you are assured of your salvation, you will be troubled by enormous doubt in your life. And number four, faithfully study the Word of God. In Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Through study and application of the Bible, our faith is strengthened, and we become more mature as we walk with Jesus by studying the Word of God. Amen. Most especially, we must master the doctrines or the basic teachings of the Bible. As the word Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen? He wants you to know. Teachings of the Bible if we are to be stable, mature Christians. In 1 Timothy 4:11-16. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. And look at 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to go to 14 instead and go down to 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Man may have wrote the Bible with physically, but God inspired every word to man's brain to write it. So it's His word. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Amen. And the last thing, number five. I gave this a 5-star rating. Pray. Yes. Pray. Yeah. The surest way to face doubts when they can't come is to have an extensive past history of answered prayer. The more a Christian prays with faith, believe he will answer your prayer every time without doubt. Amen. Believe it, that God's going to answer your prayer without doubt, and He'll do it. And the more a person sees God answering your prayers, the stronger that person's faith becomes, while the doubt becomes less and less and less in your life until it's gone. Remember this, like I said in Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible for our God. Right. Nothing. He can do anything. Amen. As long as you're asking with real heart. Matthew 19:26, all things are possible with God. Amen? So don't let the devil steal your joy with Jesus in your heart. Do not let him kill or destroy you. Amen. It's time to break the bondage of doubt out of your life right now. Where you got? Come, and I will pray with you. And maybe the pastor would also pray, Pastor Rhonda, that we're going to break this curse of doubt that's in our lives. If you need that today, come now. And in John 14:6, this is the scripture I got saved on that totally changed my life. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That put me on a new course, changed my total life. So come and get prayed over in Jesus' name. If you want prayer, just come. You want to break those bondages? This is the time to do it. Trust God.